Welcome to Lawyer Business Advantage. This podcast is dedicated to helping attorneys earn more money, get better clients, and spend more time with family. I'm your host, Ale Yajnik, founder of Law Firm Success Group. Smart business guidance for small law firms begins in 3, 2, 1. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to Lawyer Business Advantage my friend Bruce Lefevre. Bruce is the voice of the customer, and today he's here to talk about something really interesting, which is how can you, as a law firm or an attorney, actually improve your business development results without actually improving your sales skills or increasing your marketing budget? Does that sound really interesting? What do you think, Bruce?
I think that'll be a great conversation. And once again, thank you for having me back.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. We get lots of really good feedback when you're on. You know, the two previous episodes were fantastic, and I'm sure this one's going to be really, is going to be great also. And it seems like kind of fake advertising, right? It's like one of those sleazy sales tactics. How can you do this? But seriously, your clients, what they experience is they experience improved business development results, and they do that without necessarily increasing their marketing budget or like working on sales training or anything like that. So share with us a bit about what you do and how it impacts these firms.
Sure. And to nod to my sales consultant friends out there, you know, having some process and some skills will help, but that's not, you can get a lot of advantage by being clear with your clients, making the decision easy. So I often tell my clients that I can help you accelerate your business development by making it easier for clients to make a decision.
And what does that mean, making it easier for them to make a decision?
Let's think about it this way. So a lot of times, professionals, we like to think that we're the best at what we do because, I mean, we're trained to say that we're the best. We're better than other people. But the fact is that for a lot of professionals, there's a lot of unknowns. There are intangibles. It's really hard to tell who's the best. How would you even know? And in fact, to be the best choice, you have to, the client has to evaluate all the options to know what's best. That's a lengthy process. It can be frustrating if there's unknowns or intangibles in there. You have to, in essence, boil the ocean to really be sure. And then when you get all done, that's a point in time. So 6 months from now, are you still the best choice? So now they need to reevaluate. And so it's not really that good for loyalty. It's not very that good for the client. The alternative is to be what I call a great choice. And a great choice is not a lesser. It's not a trade-off. You're still really good at what you do. But what you're saying to the client is that you can be confident that if you choose me, you'll never regret that.
Well, I think it's more intellectually honest as well, because whenever someone says I'm the best, immediately my warning flags go up. But if someone says, hey, I'm really great at what I do and you'll never regret hiring me, that is something that sounds credible and trustworthy.
Well, let's take that a little bit step further. So not only is, because we're talking about how to make the decision process easier, so if it's based on confidence, that doesn't require perfect knowledge. It works really well with intangibles and unknowns. Let's face it, when you're hiring an attorney or other professional, there's a lot of intangibles and unknowns. And it's a state as opposed to a point in time. So unless something changes that's significant, you remain a great choice. There's no reason to reevaluate. Your buddy can come to you and say, oh man, I have this awesome business coach you should talk to. But I say, well, Alay is a great choice. I have no reason to regret that. Why would I waste my time trying to evaluate other options that aren't going to produce a better outcome? My job is not to select a professional. My job is to run my business. And the more time I can spend running my business, the more valuable I can make my business.
And so that really is focused on taking the risk out of the decision.
Absolutely.
And then with me as a client, if I'm looking to hire an attorney, I want to make sure someone is trustworthy so I can trust them, that they're a great choice, like I won't regret that, and that in many ways they're going to be a great fit for me. You tell me, how does that play into what you do, those kinds of questions?
So think about trust. So how do you know that someone's trustworthy? Because they run a billboard or they get awards? That doesn't say they're trustworthy. That says maybe they have some skills or they have a lot of money to make billboards. Trust is an alignment of goals. So when you are confident that my goals are aligned with your goals, not that I merely understand your goals, but that my goals are actually aligned with your goals, now that's the basis for trust. And that is where you get confidence. And that then says, and now you can start to think about fit. And fit is really important. It's not just skills, because let's face it, I use this example all the time, is high touch, low touch. If I'm a high touch professional, you're a low touch client. It doesn't matter how good I am, what kind of results I can get for you, there's going to be friction there, because I keep trying to tell you all sorts of stuff I think is really important. And you say, just tell me what to do. Will you stop it? And flip it around. If you're a high touch client and I'm a low touch professional, it's like, I've been doing this for 30 years, Olay. Will you just follow my advice? It will save so much time. But you need to know why you're doing things. And so if you have a match for high touch or low touch, now all of a sudden you can accomplish so much more, because you're now, you have that confidence, you have that trust, you have that feeling of style. And that's what makes for a great client. Yes, you have to be really good at what you do, but I'm taking that as just table stakes.
So let's wrap all this together into what you do, Bruce. So we've got this whole, I'm the best versus, you know, the best choice versus I'm a great choice. And then we've got the match between the level of service, the level of touch that a client and a provider should have. How does this all tie into what you do? And what is it that you do for those people that don't know?
Sure. So what I do is that I reverse engineer your best client relationships. Think about it that way. So I teach rainmakers and leading professionals how to sell the right product or service to the right buyer by teaching them how to think like their best clients. And to do that, now all of a sudden, if you know where you click, what makes for, I call it secret sauce. I think we talked about it in one of the other episodes. Your secret sauce is the thing that allows you to have a great fit with people. It's more than style, but it's not just skills. It's how you work with someone. It's that high touch, low touch. It's a lot more than that. But when you understand what your secret sauce is, now you can go out and you can start to look for people that are a match. I talk a lot about your best clients, but what you really want to do is find your future best clients. And if you can sniff those out, now all of a sudden you start to say, oh yeah, I could help Olay. He has a problem I could help him with, but he's not going to be a best client for me. He's probably a best client for someone else. And so I don't try to pursue you. I may refer you to someone who you are a best, you know, client for, but I want to work with my best clients because they are the ones that buy faster, they value me more, they're more fun to work with, and because they get how we work, they make wonderful referral partners.
Right. And those answers will be different for everybody. And attorney entrepreneurs, if you've done an ideal client exercise or a best client exercise, or if you've worked with my firm, Law Firm Success Group, and we've gone through aligned marketing together, then you know one of the things you do is you ask about, well, who's your best client? And another way to ask that question is, if you had to just take your book of business and clone one client and that client filled your book of business, who would that person be, or who would those two or three people be? Because those are going to be your best clients. And there's some characteristics within them that you can pull out and use to identify your best future clients. But when we do this, when literally folks, when 99% of the people do this, including the people that work with us, it's an introspective exercise. So you're sitting there and you're thinking about, who are my best clients and why are they my best clients? And while you can get a lot of value from that, let's face it, you might be totally wrong because the reasons why you think they're your best clients may not be transferable into marketing to future best clients. And Bruce, I think that's where you come in and you do something different.
Yeah. And so there's two things that happen, and people can do that exercise very honestly, and it is a helpful exercise, but there's two things that happen. One is, from your own side, you think about the clients you should have. What were people telling you that you should have? Then the other thing is, from the client standpoint, the more they like you, the more they want to please you. How do they please you? They repeat back your own marketing to you, thinking that's what you want to hear. So you walk away thinking, dang, I have this so nailed, and you haven't actually learned anything.
How do you solve that problem?
So that's where I do interviews of my clients' best clients. So rather than the interviews that the marketing agency says that they do 10 minutes with the marketing buyer, I'm talking to the CEO or the CFO or the EVP for close to an hour. And you think, why would they talk to, you know, some consultant they don't know? These are busy people. Well, I can coach my clients as to how to do the introduction, but the actual conversation, you know, they think it's going to be the survey, the classic client satisfaction survey, that they're doing it as a favor, but they hate it because it's all about how do they fit into the attorney's business. And that's just not very interesting conversation. What's really interesting is the way I do it, which is all about how does Mr. Attorney fit into your business, Mr. CEO? How does he improve your business? Nobody's ever asked them that. And what it does is it gets them talking about themselves. Even CEOs like to talk about themselves. And that allows me to dig down and peel back the onion to get to the secret sauce, which they don't really know. They know there's some secret, there's some sauce there, but they can't articulate what it is. And they get blinded by the marketing and repeating back and trying to please. And I dig down to what the real impact is.
And so for a firm or an attorney, about how many of these client interviews do you have to conduct before you get, you know, enough data to make some, to draw some conclusions and actually help the attorney or the firm improve?
So first off, I'm not doing a scientific exercise. This is qualitative, not quantitative. So I'm not going to say 47% say this and 53% say that, and that's going to drive your decision. What we're trying to do is get insights. The other thing I do is I put a name on everything. So it's not random clients. There's a lot more data that comes in, inferred data, because I say, well, Leigh said this and Bruce said that and Mary said this. And they can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You have to understand the backstory with Leigh. Well, let's talk about that. And then sometimes I'll say, oh, now that I know more backstory, there's these two other conversations I had that comments that I didn't know quite where it fit in, but it seemed really important. Now it makes perfect sense. So one, I'm talking to people that they know really well, their best clients, not all their clients, their best clients. So it's really credible. And then it's really actionable because we're talking about things that they actually do, not things they should do, but things they actually do, but they probably don't realize the value and they don't talk about them.
It basically creates messaging for the attorney that is completely different from what the attorney is currently using, because they didn't even know, they just didn't know, right? They had no idea.
Sometimes it's completely differently. Sometimes it's just really more actionable, because most people have some idea, but what they don't know is they don't know the specifics to make it actionable. The thing where it gets really different sometimes is there's a lot of, and you know, a lot of attorneys like this or CPAs, they're experts at what they do and they're really, really good. Now there's a difference between experts whose job, we talked about this with the expert trap. The expert's role is to answer questions. There's an advisor that helps shape the questions. And there's a lot of people that professionals actually act as advisors, but they sell like experts. And so they go out talking about all the facts and their credentials and answering questions, but that's reactive. When their real value with their best clients, maybe not all their clients, but their very best clients, is to be as an advisor. And now we're changing the messaging pretty dramatically. We're not changing what they do. I'm giving them permission to do what they enjoy and they're best at. And we're giving them the tools and the road to do that with. And now all of a sudden they go from having some advisory clients and a lot of expert clients to having a lot of advisory clients. And those are worth a lot more. They're more fun and they're sticky.
They are. And they produce great referrals too, because those are the clients. You know, when messaging can be focused on trust, it can be focused on impact. They're not viewing the attorney as a transaction partner for one, you know, one kind of deal, because they're the cheapest attorney that they happen to find who's competent. It's a totally different relationship. And it's one that I'm sure most attorneys have with their best clients. So, you know, we can talk about this a lot, but stories are worth so much when it comes to this kind of thing. So, Bruce, just take us through a story about when you worked with a firm, you know, the situation when they brought you in, kind of what you did, and how it flipped their marketing and really impacted their firm.
So I'm going to use a different one than I frequently use. And so this is a boutique firm, and they do tax work, tax controversy work. And when I first met the managing partner, it was at a networking event and we were talking. He goes, I've got no use for what you do, because we did our website. We're getting SEO to bring in more leads. And so I asked him, well, what kind of clients are you getting? And he hemmed and hawed because he'd spent a lot of money. And it came out that he was actually having to assign someone part-time to just go through the leads and try to sort out the tire kickers and the people that were clearly not good leads. And he'd gotten a couple of clients. He was hoping that he'd get some better clients, but it was more volume. And that wasn't his business. His business, the clients he really, oh, and then I said, well, tell me about a client that you would clone if you could, one of your best clients. And he tells me about this small business owner who ran into a cash crunch and was faced with, do I pay my employees or do I pay the state Board of Revenue? And they decided to pay their employees. And I'm sure our listeners know that then becomes a snowball that creates all sorts of other problems. So basically, a good person made a bad decision, got into trouble. And those are the types of clients that his firm really works well with, trying to save as much of the business. Usually the owner gets a big haircut, but the employees can maybe keep their jobs, try to avoid bankruptcy or use bankruptcy if it's needed. But it's not just all about the numbers. It's about the lives involved as well. And I said, where'd you get that client? And he goes, that came from a CPA referral. I said, do you get a lot of those? And he goes, the ones I get are really good. I don't get very many of them. I don't know why. And so what I played back to him is that you just spent a whole ton of money to attract clients you don't really want. And you're just taking for granted serendipity to get the clients that you really care about. And he goes, okay, maybe we need to talk. So what we ended up doing was really to take that secret sauce. He knew that basic style that they did, but he didn't know what was so special about those clients. So there's some stories I got. There was one client of his that got a call from the State Board of Revenue saying that you need to pay this enormous sum by Tuesday. And she goes, I can't do that. They hung up on her. And she told me the story about how she pulled off on the side of the road and just cried for a while. And when I told that to the firm, they said, oh yeah, we'd heard that story. But they were so focused on the numbers that they'd kind of forgotten the human side. And so we were able to now take that sort of secret sauce and turn that into positioning and messaging that we then took out to the CPAs and the wealth advisors and other attorneys in their network.
How is the new positioning different?
So the new positioning was rather than we have these tax problems, you'll call us the classic website. So rather than casting a wider net, and then trying to filter it out, they're now throwing spears, but they know exactly what they're throwing spears at. And they're working with people that are going to pre-vet, that have trusted relationships, that are now pre-vetting the clients and sending them over. They're coming over with the default assumption that they can trust this firm. And they're not getting tire kickers. They don't do free consultations. They will not do free consultations because that just attracts tire kickers. They want people that have real problems and recognize their value. So they've done some things like that to really reinforce that. And their partners all know that.
I'm going to jump in here. Let's do a quick before and after, okay? So the before way that they were marketing was, you know, they're these tax experts and they can, you know, solve all these problems and blah, blah, blah. What's the new way that they're now positioning their services?
So the new way they're positioning themselves, and they're in the process of working through the website at this point, but the major part of their positioning was to take it into the network and really talk about these are the types of people we work with, nice, good people, often business owners, good people that have made a bad decision and are now feeling the, so they're the sorts of people that the wealth advisor, the CPA want to keep as clients. And in fact, they'd like their business to get back on track so that they will be good clients as opposed to.
So business owners who are good people, but they just made a bad decision. And you can see instantly by doing that, if you're just casting a wide net of we solve tax problems, you're going to get all sorts of people. But when you narrow it down to just business owners, boom, you've now really focused it. When you narrow it down to business owners, we're good people that have made a bad decision. Now it's even smaller, hopefully not that much smaller, but a little bit smaller. And by focusing it on financial advisors and CPAs, you're going to get those referrals that to those clients, it's going to make a world of difference. Fantastic. And Bruce, what impacts have they seen in their business, this tax advisory firm?
So usually people think that, oh, well, if we get more selective, you know, yeah, we'll be more profitable, but we're going to, you know, we'll have fewer clients, we'll, you know, have less growth. We're trading it. They see it as a trade-off. What they find is when they're specific like this, all of a sudden there's a lot more opportunity. They're actually growing. They're growing significantly. People won't get the reference here, but Don Smith from Provisors and his, you know, who do you need to know? In the room, people say, well, I want to talk to a VP of HR, and you get nobody. You say, I want to talk to the VP of HR at Chevron, and suddenly three people would say, I can make an introduction. It's being that specific that really drives it home. But you want to be specific about what you want. And so they do very little filtering now, because when they get a referral in, their assumption is this is going to be a good client for us. There's always the credibility check both ways. But it's the default is that this is something we want and this is going to be a great client for us. We're going to do the best we can for them, which is usually because they're really, really good at what they do with the taxes. They're nice people, but they're really good tax attorneys that they have a great outcome.
That's a really cool case study for a lot of reasons. One, you mentioned Don Smith, may he rest in peace, which is terrific. And I remember that exercise very well. And it's really a focusing exercise. If you just say, well, I want clients, well, that doesn't focus anybody. But when you say I want these specific characteristics in a client, now people have something to latch onto and focus on and engage their mind and really help you. And the same thing applies to marketing. So love that approach. And then once you've done and you've shared the kind of the insights with them, Bruce, and you've talked through the messaging, what or how do you help them actually act upon and implement what they need to do based on the customer insight conversations that you've had?
Sure. So there's a few things that happen. One is my work is, think of it as high-level strategic positioning. So it's the foundation. It's, as we talked in the other episode, and people should go back and listen to it if they haven't heard it, about having the right offer, which is not what you do. It's the impact that you have on the client. It's the audience, not everyone you could talk to, but what we're just talking about here in terms of the very specific people say, oh my, you get me. That then is there's a mindset shift that happens there. And usually a client, and frequently it's the exact same words, they say, you know, I was thinking about what we talked about yesterday, Bruce, and suddenly a switch flipped in my brain. I totally get it now. Whereas before they thought, this is making sense, but it's not the way we've done it. And suddenly it's like, how do we ever operate? And I go, well, you were pretty successful for 20 years. Don't knock yourself. You're just going to be way more successful. And then that I build that into, I call it a more best clients roadmap. Think of it as a strategic marketing plan. And then that's the interface that we can hand off to the marketing agency. So instead of the 14 things that every law firm has to do, it's the one or two things that are really going to move the needle for this firm, for the people that the clients they want to attract. And so it becomes a focusing exercise. And then there's a big piece, which is communicate it internally. Make sure everyone at your firm knows why your best clients select your firm. Because now you then start to communicate that out to your referral partners and your networking contacts and your past clients. And then that all matches up between what you think internally and say internally, what your clients and referral partners see and hear, and what your marketing is to the outside world.
Yeah, it's amazing if you can have a firm that is, you know, client-focused, truly client-focused, meaning they speak the same language as their clients, they get their clients, their whole operation is focused on the client experience and on the client. It's really an amazing thing when that happens. And what I love about that, Bruce, is you're really the tip of the spear in this exercise. You're just starting by these customer insight interviews that you're doing, and then all of this comes out of that. And so, you know, for you attorney entrepreneurs who are listening, if this seems like more than what you want to take on right now, the simplest question is just to ask yourself this: when was the last time you actually talked to your best clients about, you know, how they're doing and how they value your services and why they chose to work with you? And whether you have or haven't, if you haven't, then you certainly should. But even if you have, you're talking to the client. Imagine what you might find if the client talked to a trained third party. And by the way, clients love getting asked. They feel really flattered about that when you ask them, hey, will you talk to so-and-so? He's doing some customer insights for me and I'd love for you to sit down with him. They love it. It's really amazing just that kind of feedback, what you can get. And I'm sure you can imagine the impact that could have on your firm and on your marketing strategy.
And your life. Don't forget your life. If you're working with great clients who don't give you headaches, your life is usually pretty good too.
It absolutely is. And if you're working with clients who you hate, please pick up the phone and talk to someone. It could be us, could be Bruce, it could be an attorney colleague of yours. Life is too short to work with clients you hate. And if your clients are draining you, it means that they're impacting your firm in other ways too. Your business development efforts are suffering. I guarantee it. Your marketing is suffering. I guarantee that too. So you need to fix that problem ASAP.
And the bar isn't clients you hate, it's clients that maybe annoy you. Think about it this way. Every client either generates energy or sucks energy. And if you work with all clients who generate energy, your life is really, really different. And so clients can suck energy for all sorts of reasons. You don't have to hate them. They could be great people. They could be your friend, but they're sucking energy and you don't want those clients. Those aren't good for your business.
So Bruce, if people want to contact you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So the best way to contact me is you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I've got contact information there, or you can reach out to me directly, bruce@eastwoodstrategy.com. And I'd love to talk to you. I do speaking, I do workshops, I do consulting. So we talk mostly from the consulting, but that feeds into the workshops and the speaking as well. So I can come to your firm retreat. I can do your association. I can do a lot of things. And I love to share the insights that I've gained.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you so much again for being on Lawyer Business Advantage today.
I always enjoy the conversation, and I'm always sad when it comes to an end. So hopefully there'll be another time. Talk to you.
I'm sure there will. Everyone, that's Bruce LaFace for The Client Whisperer.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Lawyer Business Advantage podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you tune in to listen. And I want to hear from you, so connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you think of this episode. And if you are a solo or an owner of a small law firm, and you're looking to earn more money, attract better clients, or reduce your stress, we would love to talk with you to see how we can help. Request your free law firm assessment by visiting lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. Again, that URL is lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. We look forward to talking with you soon. Thank you for listening. My name is Ale Yajnik. Until next time, remember, you can seize freedom. You can embrace happiness. You can build your perfect practice.